Hey, folks, March Madness, it's the month of opportunity. We've all been there. You're waiting for this big moment, but then the moment arrives and you don't know what to do. Don't end up like me at the junior prom. Let's get our friend in here from Batavia Downs, Ryan Hasenauer, as he talks our How to Bet event.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We are setting up something with you guys from Trainwreck, from OTB and Batavia Downs. We're super excited to be on board with you guys. We're going to be doing a How to Bet event on March 30th, which is coming up here pretty soon. It's some of these prep races that are getting people ready for the Kentucky Derby, which of course is May 4th this year on Star Wars Day. And just like we're seeing with the tournament right now, last weekend before the actual tournament, we saw all these conference championships. Horse racing kind of works the same way. If you win one of these smaller races, these prep races, you'll earn the points necessary to get your horse into the big dance, in this case, the Kentucky Derby. And so what we're going to be doing is for the next two Saturdays, we're going to be doing events and we're going to be inviting the people of Western New York to come to them. And what are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to be teaching you how to bet on horses. The summer is almost here, and so is spring, and so is the Triple Crown season, the summer at Saratoga, all these exciting things. And here at OTB and at Batavia Downs, we want to get everybody in Western New York tuned in on how to bet on the horses. You know, you look at a program, you maybe not familiar with how to read one. Well, we want to help you out. We're going to have this event. It's going to be at the Whirly OTB upstairs where Champions is. But we're going to be hosting something with Nick the Railbird. He's one of our OTB handicappers. Nick's going to teach you how to read a program. We're going to give everybody in attendance who signs up in advance a $5 wager that you can use to bet on the Arkansas Derby or the Florida Derby, which are the two Kentucky Derby prep races that will be happening on March 30th. And we're going to give everybody a free beer. So you can't beat that. You got to sign up, though, by emailing me. It's you're going to email me at rhasenauer. You can see my name on the screen there. So rhasenauer@westernotb.com. Only the people that sign up in advance are going to get those special gifts as you arrive. And we're going to have some prize drawings for the people who come in and are wagering with us. So we're going to have some Thurman Thomas signed memorabilia. Of course, Thurman is OTB and Batavia Downs is ambassador. We're also going to have some prizes related to Batavia Downs, like stay in plays. So we're hoping that those of you that are in the mood for horse racing can join us on March 30th at the Whirly OTB, starting around 6:15 and going just about until 7:30. Learn how to bet on those horses before the summer at Saratoga and before the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown season. And just going to have some fun.
Folks, make your spring a trifecta and get to Western OTB. And obviously, email rhasenauer@westernotb to register for the How to Bet event, where Batavia Downs, you know the train never stops, the region's premier entertainment destination.
Outlet Liquor is your place to buy a case. Stock up and save when you shop the lowest prices available every day at Outlet Liquor. You never have to wait for a sale. The more you buy, the more you save. Only at Outlet Liquor.
What's your outlet?
Not a mute monster. Not a mute monster. We're coming out hot. Trainwreck tonight, 3:35. It is March 25th. Remember for the last 6 weeks, when I was bitching that nothing was happening in the world of sports? Well, guess what? It's opposite time. We got March Madness. We got the Buffalo bracket. We got NFL owner meetings. We got less than 2 weeks till WrestleMania. We got less than 3 weeks till the Masters. We got less than 1 week till MLB opening day, which means return of the Nerfy. So with that said, let's go.
You don't stop. Grow. Diet soda flows and what you take magically regenerates. On supermarket shelves, the ovens clean themselves. You don't pay the tab till the last drop. So we all ride for nothing, cause this train never stops.
Are we all on board? You don't pay the tab till the last try.
Folks, welcome back. Trainwreck tonight, 3:35, sponsored by The Place to Buy My Case, Outlet Liquor, George Urban Boulevard, in Depew, getting it done. Speaking of getting it done, let's get in a couple of folks who do. You know him. He has a day on the calendar, Slick Saturday. You know him. You love him. He's my friend. He's your friend. He's our friend, Jake Micah. Gentlemen, let's go. With that said, we have a huge weekend to recap. We got March Madness getting underway. We got me losing basically every bet I could possibly make. We got less than 2 weeks of the Masters. We got MLB opening day, but obviously we start the weekend recap. We got March Madness. What surprised you guys most of the weekend? How was it? You know, where do you rate it on a scale of one to March Madness?
Ooh, I would say the first couple days, like seven to eight on the Madness scale. And then the second round, especially in the men's tournament, more like a three or four. The women's tournament had some banger games, don't get me wrong, but not a lot of upsets in those first couple rounds. We had some huge upsets in the first couple rounds, but it was a pretty chalky second round, which could make for a better Sweet 16. So maybe this weekend we'll be like, that was one of the best Sweet 16s, Elite Eights, we'll be talking about. For a Madness scale overall, I'd say it's probably like a five or six, right? But there were some great high-level basketball games in there, both the men's and women's tournament, but there were also some stinkers, especially yesterday, man, like trying to be locked in yesterday afternoon, Sunday afternoon, you know, you're out, you're at the family's house, you got CBS on hoping for a couple of great games, and Purdue and Duke just didn't let it happen. Like that was, they're just like, nah, we're not doing this today. So neither did Iowa really. And LSU, that was a close game for a little bit. I was like, oh, maybe Kim Mulkey going to take two L's. We didn't get a Washington Post article today. And they ended up like blowing out Middle Tennessee State and scoring 30 straight points in the second half. So not as mad as you would like to see, but it was a fun weekend still. You can't beat the tournament. You really can't.
Yeah, quite the contrast there. Like you said, though, Jake, women's a little more exciting action on that side. I'd say the round of 64, I'd give it like a seven. You know, a lot of great quality games, but the Madness factor wasn't there. And you kind of think we had to be due for something like that after these past two March Madnesses with Cinderella's left and right. And then we kind of eased into that round of 32. And even the Cinderella stories that did remain, the chalk just handed them why Vegas put them as the chalk. And so I'd say overall Madness factor round of 32, I'm going with Jake on a five, so seven down to a five. We still have potential for this to be good, but definitely pretty chalky start to March Madness this year.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and, you know, fix something that isn't broken. Micah said it perfectly. Thursday and Friday were about a seven. Saturday and Sunday, especially Sunday, combined about a three. Not a lot of madness, not a lot of craziness to be excited about. Overall, I mean, I think the only thing you're going to take away, like every year you kind of take away like a UBMC or, you know, a Florida Gulf Coast or something like that. This year, it's got to be Golkey. I mean, that guy was absolutely nuts with just chucking up the threes for Oakland. I mean, the team doesn't even go fast. It's not like there's some run it up like pace or whatever. They were like in the bottom third in pace and scoring and everything for the year. But apparently this guy only drills from deep. Watching him come off screens in the second game when they knew that he was going to do it, it was pretty absurd, pretty hilarious.
But Maniac, speaking of that guy, your story now with him out is probably his opponent in that last game with NC State. And that big fella's name, Jake, do you know his name?
DJ Burns?
Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, that's a really exciting team to watch. A lot of personalities on that team. And I believe they're what, an 11 seed?
Yeah.
So that's your upset story right here. And I think they have potential in their next game too. Exciting to see what they can do from there. But you're right, Golkey was very fun to watch. And without even intentionally trying to do it, do you think he's increased his draft stock a little bit just by his post-game presser and then putting on a show like that in two games? I think teams might entertain drafting that guy.
I agree. And I also just love that he's gotten the bag already for it. He had the TurboTax ad right on social going into Saturday morning. And then I think it was today he had the Buffalo Wild Wings ad right after they're out of the tournament. He's like, nope, still going to get this money. Had the Pardon My Take interview. Like, Golkey mania is running wild now. And I was out watching games Saturday. And when that man was hitting threes, I've never heard a bar erupt like that for a team that nobody in that bar cared about at all. Like, no one in there was an Oakland grad fan, anything like that. Golkey hits a three and the whole place erupts. I'm like, what is going on here? That's what March Madness is all about, man.
Yeah, it was about, you know, the game with Oakland. It was about so there were, again, there were a couple good finishes along the way. But especially with the round of 32 weekend, you just didn't get a lot of upsets. You didn't get a lot of surprises. I think all the one seeds moved on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the ones. We got a pretty shocking Final Four. I think we got.
You kind of had to expect that a couple years in a row, or at least that short window of it happening for the very first time. And then, bam, here's another one right after Fairleigh Dickinson. So.
I agree. With that said, I think it was maybe Big Cat with Barstool said that. You're paying dividends right now. You got a worser round of 32, but you got better teams moving on to the Sweet 16. Does that mean we're setting up for an elite second weekend here in the NCAA tournament?
It feels like it. And there's some heavyweight matchups this weekend. You mentioned Fairleigh Dickinson, Purdue and Gonzaga. Like if this Purdue team is for real, having this matchup with Gonzaga is going to be, I mean, Tennessee has had their troubles, obviously, in the tournament before too. So really getting by Gonzaga will solidify Purdue in a lot of people's heads going into that Elite Eight matchup. Houston and Duke, I mean, we're going to get a lot of throwback highlights from the 90s with that matchup. And also it's just going to be a great game. We get the national title rematch, UConn and San Diego State. The best game of the weekend, I think, could be it could be down there with Baylor. It's going to be a great second round. Great Sweet 16 in the second round for the women's tournament going tonight. There's some heavyweight matchups that could go on next weekend too there. And tonight we got UConn and Syracuse, which I know Maniac's extremely.
It's underway there, right so. Now. They're in,
oh, is that thought? Oh,
they're in the first,
got,
they're in the,
my
they're
page
in the first
neckers.
Quarter. Hey, my De'Asia Fair and my coach Jack, they're tied at 10 halfway through the first quarter. Of course, we got eyes on that trainer experts. We have eyes everywhere. We are like Sauron with multiple lenses. And you didn't even mention a couple of the ones, Jake, that I know we're going to be looking at. Alabama, North Carolina, not surprising. Alabama game, total over 170. Again, 173.5 there. I expect them to fill it up. Although, the reason Alabama won these two games was because when they needed to, they started playing really good defense. So we'll see if that continues to translate for Nate Oates' group. And then, as rare as this is, we're getting a national championship rematch of last year in the Sweet 16. And the thing that's even crazier, it's a 10-point spread. That's ridiculous. San Diego State getting no respect. I think I might take them first half, and I think I might take them full game. I think that UConn absolutely dominated this first weekend. I concede that. But I do not think they are the super powerhouse that everyone's making them out to be. Yeah, they have a 33-3 record. I get it. But I think they also struggle a little bit along the way and in the middle of those games. And I wouldn't be surprised if San Diego State, with everything to prove, with everything to get revenge on, gave him a little bit more than that 10.5-point spread. You guys think I'm getting crazy on that?
I don't think either of those two teams are what they were last year, but I don't know if I'd be tailing you on that. I certainly think 10.5 is a lot of points. San Diego State, though, pretty impressive against Yale. Everyone was fading them. Clemson, Arizona, too, we haven't talked about. Clemson played a great game against Baylor the other night. Like you said, Jake, a lot of heavyweight matchups, but, Maniac, the UConn, 10.5 spread, really? San Diego to win that game?
Greeny.
No,
today?
I'm not taking them to win it. I'm just saying, Slick, right now, what is, if you're, and I always try and get in the heads. I always try and get like, I want to be a part. If I was a San Diego State Aztec for these last 9 months, this is what I've, or for the last 11 months, this is what I've been dreaming of. Give me UConn. Give me another shot at UConn. Like, yeah, do they want to be playing them in the Sweet 16? Probably not. They would have preferred to eventually see them in the finals again, of course. But let's face it, this is like on a lesser scale because to comparatively to us, this is Bills Chiefs at Highmark Stadium. This is the shot for San Diego State. This is exactly what they wanted. Yeah, do they want to be a 10.5-point underdog? Of course not. But with that said, this is exactly what they wanted all offseason. This is exactly why they were shooting in the gym. This is exactly why they were doing NIL deals all offseason to get back and get them a piece of those Huskies.
That's a great comparison, too, by the way, Bills Chiefs at Highmark, because I just saw that this game is being played in Boston.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy.
Very great comparison.
It's going to be great there.
It's going to be an electric atmosphere for sure. Definitely going to have eyes on that game. Very excited.
It's a great point about UConn and the hype because Greeny today on Get Up said that UConn could make the Eastern Conference
playoffs. Don't even start me on that.
And oh, well, that is ridiculous.
What are we talking about?
Just to be clear, my Pistons would beat these Huskies by 75 points in an NBA game. If they actually had 75 points, the Pistons would beat the Huskies by.
Yeah. It's
people
insane.
Forget this. It's the Alabama versus the worst NFL team. Like, I mean, every player has to go from that team to the next highest level. Like, ridiculous. Any final thoughts on this tournament?
Subject of Alabama.
Yeah.
Is that a nuclear hammer for us here? -4.5 UNC.
I mean, I think so. How much money can I possibly lose on this Bama squad?
we have to ride it until the wheels fall off.
Yeah, we have to keep it rolling.
I mean, I got to do the blackjack theory. You ever hear that blackjack theory where you go to a blackjack table, you bet $5, you lose, you bet $10, you lose, you bet $20, you lose, you bet $50. That'll basically be where I'm at on Bama right now.
That's
so
where we're at.
They make it to the if Nate Oates makes it to the Natty, I'm going to be putting up a mortgage or something to try
you
and get
win
back
at
even.
Some point.
I don't know about you guys. I was shocked yesterday by Clemson taking down Baylor. I was really high about that Baylor team. And so that Clemson-Arizona matchup down at the bottom of the region really intrigues me. I think that could be the low seed that we're surprised and see in the Sweet 16. I mean, or in the Elite Eight. I know that NC State's going to be – you already talked them up slick. You like the matchup against Marquette. And Marquette did look shaky a little bit yesterday against Colorado.
It's
that game was great. Yeah, they did. Kolek has the best old man game ever.
He's
though.
Wild, dude.
How does he? The one shot at the end of the game, he gets into the lane. He looks like he's dribbling at like 75% speed. Does like a lap around and then has a hook shot wide open. I'm like, how do you?
He
guys
looks
not
like a 2K CPU player. He looks like how.
Real quick, the one thing I forgot to mention, that Texas A&M buzzer beater yesterday.
Yes,
was quintessential.
Well, I feel Mark like
they
moment.
Didn't pull off the win, but that was an amazing, like that 12 second sequence was just that. If you had March Madness in like a dictionary, that's exactly what it is.
It's a shame they didn't pull that win off, because that moment would have really lived forever if they ended up pulling that one out. But hey, still madness nonetheless.
Seriously. And speaking of madness, speaking of a March tournament, the Buffalo bracket rolls on. Gentlemen, no crazy upsets, but we do see Cover One knocking out Wegmans. So we're still in the first round. We're finishing it up today and tomorrow. But has anything else surprised you from the Buffalo bracket so far besides that C1 Wegmans matchup, or anything stuck out to you guys?
Well, I was definitely a little shocked by that one, because you guys know I had Wegmans -15 percentage points. So
you also had Buffalo food slot for a nuclear whale missile, and she's on the golf course.
Yeah, that's crazy. I can't believe that. I need a little more effort out of her, I think, next time. But hey, that's a conversation we need to have privately. The selection committee is definitely going to be thinking about that one next year, is all I'm saying. But yeah, Cover One, shout out to them. I mean, they put in the work. They got themselves out there. They were saying a lot of things about Aldi over Wegmans, which I think is ridiculous. But here's a guy who's never been to Aldi. I will say, though, it does remind me of Trader Joe's, and that place sketches me out. So congrats to Cover One, but they were saying a lot of crazy things. If they can keep the ball rolling, all props to them.
Yeah, a huge... huge upset. 15. We had a 15-2 upset, and we also had Ted's Hot Dogs, who might have maybe underseeded at 13, but
that's
that was
justified.
A blowout. That was a blowout. I was very shocked to see Anderson's go down in such a way. And then where is the other one I was surprised by? I was a big proponent of Buffalo Sunsets. Thought that they would get it over Logan Berry. The Logan Berry run is just there's just a hold on Western New York over Logan Berry, and it was a close matchup, but very surprised to see that. I was a big proponent of Sunsets going into that one.
Every year Logan Berry does well. It's like the silent majority out there. Nobody's out there screaming or quote tweeting about Logan Berry, but it just wins.
It's one of those unspoken things about Buffalo. You know, no one needs to brag about it. No one needs to talk about it. You know, it's there, it's resourceful. And it's going to smack every single time.
And, you know, that's a great point about Logan Berry, too, is when people are thinking just about Buffalo, like Logan, you think Logan Berry, like that's a Buffalo thing right there. So maybe that's what we're just looking at there. And it was a close thing. Don't get me wrong. 53-47, not a big spread there, but I underrated it for sure.
So it's pretty rare we have actual Bills news. But, you know, obviously a couple of days ago we signed the defensive tackle, formerly of the Charger, Daquan Jones' friend. But today we had the NFL owner meetings, and I guess the big takeaway from today, I guess two things. One is that Trey White and Micah Hyde are still, you know, I guess you would say they're still texting. If this was a relationship in some form, they could potentially come back. And then the other thing is this hip drop tackle, which I think is absolute madness. Good luck to the NFL. Good luck to every time a flag is thrown on that. I think that's going to be chaos. But what are you guys thinking about from these NFL enemies? Anything stick out to you today or what you saw yesterday?
The hip drop tackle is going to be so problematic in the NFL. I've seen this discussion started a little bit last year. I heard some, NFL podcasts start talking about it. They took it out in rugby. It did help overseas. It did help with some injuries and everything, leg injuries and things of that sort. They're not going to call this the right way. There's going to be some bullcrap calls every single weekend that are going to change the course of games. I saw somebody tweet that's like, wait till it's Chiefs 4th-and-1 at the Bills 10. Terrell Bernard goes and hits a hit in the backfield and they call a hip drop tackle and it's game over after that. Those are going to happen in even if it happens in two games, one game this year, it's too many times. I don't trust the NFL refs to call it. I'm all for player safety, but it just seems like it's going to be, especially in the first year, it's going to be an issue. With Trey and Micah, though, I've still been thinking that Micah Hyde returning is a possibility if he wanted to come back and play. I feel like it's up to him as much as this point, and maybe that's why they make such a small move for Mike Edwards at safety, is because they know that Mike is going to be back there and that they'll have different options. But the trade thing is not something I thought of yet. And he visited with a couple teams, hasn't signed anywhere yet. And the longer he doesn't sign somewhere, doesn't it seem to you guys more and more likely that he's just going to come back? Like, he has no reason not to be happy here. And if he loves it here, didn't get a ton of interest, he's obviously a guy coming off of two major injuries and two major surgeries. This is probably the best place for him regardless. And it makes a lot of sense for him not to be making the money that he was making before. But I didn't think it was a possibility. So to even hear that out of the Bills brass's mouth this week was kind of shocking.
This offseason, just real quick, Slick, I think the three biggest issues with the Bills roster was that you were paying Von Miller too much at this point. You were paying Trey White too much at this point. And you were paying Dawson Knox too much at this point with the roster you had. You've solved all three. So credit to being Slick. What stuck out to you?
I'm definitely with Jake on the Trey White situation. Seems a bit ominous. And you saw that video today of McDermott on his relationship with Trey White over the years. Only made it sink in a little more that we could see a return out of him, which I would love. You know, Buffalo loves Trey White. The Trey White Goalie Academy is something special. With the rule changes here, the hip drop tackle, definitely ridiculous. I'm with all you guys on that. I think this is going to be a much worse version of the first year that we saw the roughing the passer rule kind of get enforced a bit to the max. Refs are going to be throwing willy-nilly flags left and right, and a lot of plays are going to be messed up as a result of it. There's just going to be more criticism. Unanimously, too, voting that in is kind of crazy. Did not expect to see that coming. All for keeping the players safe. I totally get that. But this is going to cause some controversy and definitely make some people salty about how some games end. I'm interested to see how the discussions go on potentially changing an onside kick sort of situation, maybe doing that third and long, I think was a big proposed one. Really interesting to see where that's going to be, because I was obviously that was a safety change too, stopping loading the one side on the onside kick, but it adds an element of fun to the game like nothing else really. So if they can find a way to replace that with keeping the player safe or even bring it back, I'm all for that. So I'm interested to see how that discussion goes, but the hip drop tackle, ridiculous.
Well, we'll get to MLB opening day later this week in a second, but on our radar, I know we got within 2 weeks, WrestleMania. We got WrestleMania weekend in Philly. And then in 3 weeks, you got the Masters. I think we have more to say on Mania, so why don't we do the Masters first? Are you guys looking at this at all, Scheffler being down to like plus 450?
That's wild.
He's in a tournament this weekend where he's plus 275 with a full field.
I mean, he's been playing great golf. You know, I love to dabble with Augusta. I'll touch a little bit of the Aussies. My boy Cam Smith, Cam Davis, shout out the boys. They'll be cranking beers in Augusta if they play a nice round or two. But yeah,
there is no blind ride as much as Slick betting Cam Smith whenever he can.
This is true. I mean, the first time I watched him at Augusta, he went till the fourth day and then blew it. It was gut wrenching. But you know, I'll obviously be looking at some chalk top five: Scheffler, Zalatoris, maybe. What's that Dutch dude's name?
Can't remember who you're thinking of right now, but you said Will Zalatoris, who I have bet in every single major for the last three years.
Dutch
will
dude?
Come through.
I don't even know Dutch golfer.
My bad.
Am I losing Rom my? Duck?
No, Rom's yeah. JT. What
brand is he with?
I don't know.
There you go. That'll explain it. I'm only betting if you don't have a bet on Scottie Scheffler to win. That's what I was covering.
Yeah,
you have to have a. If you're betting on this, you have to put something on Scottie to win because he's just been a machine for the last couple months and the last couple years too. Plus 450. I did not know that though. That's insane.
It's like you might have to get fined. I don't think there is a Dutch golfer.
Okay, where's he from?
Oh wait, we got Steve in here.
Hovland. Oh, yes,
oh,
thank
Hovland.
You.
Okay. Steve.
Good move. There's not a Dutch golfer. Fuck out of here.
Hove. That's Hove. Okay, H to the OV.
You're an idiot to me.
Wow. Okay. Well, speaking of being a stupid idiot, you just made the list, Slick, and that list is you're kicking it off. 2 weeks till Mania. The first thing I want to talk with you boys right now: are we getting The Rock tonight in Chicago? Because not only did we see a fan post a random invoice about needing an F Raptor for The Rock, et cetera, et cetera, it was the fan who was chanting Chicago with CM Punk. So I just feel like this guy's kind of in the know. I feel like he's kind of in the universe of like he has a reputation. This guy can't just go back off into like the ether of nothing after he drops this and like never message again. Like, this guy has a reputation he's risking. So with that said, is the final boss going to be on Monday Night Raw tonight?
I sure as hell hope so. You know, that truck stuff was real intriguing. I'm not sure how much I believe you about how much credit this guy really can have up his sleeve. I think he's just a mark.
It's not credit. I'm saying he has a reputation. Like, he can't just run away now. Like, if this rumor's wrong, like, great, you know, point. He's the CM Punk Survivor Series guy.
I'm
not saying this guy has a credit score of 800, but he's on the scene for sure. But well, so you, yeah or nay on The Rock tonight? He's like, sorry.
I'll say yes. You know, it's a big night. Punk's back. It's Chicago. Chicago's one of the hottest wrestling crowds.
If Punk comes out and Rock comes out in the middle of his segment, I'm going to lose it. I'm sorry.
I mean, I am too, but like, then you're just throwing Rock at every person on the freaking roster at this point, which I'm not opposed to. If we have him for like 3 years, let's take advantage of it and set up everything we possibly can. But yeah, I'm going to go yes, because Chicago... you got to treat these fans. They're some of the best in the world. Jake knows it.
I think it makes a lot of sense for Rocky to have a surprise. Listen, yesterday The Rock tweeted more than I've ever seen him tweet in like a 20-minute span. He was pumping out the new skincare. He's pumping out UFL tweets, and then he's throwing in some. It's lovely. He's like putting out like baby face tweets, like come get the skincare line. I need to do the skincare. Come watch football next week. But also, I'm the hottest heel in professional wrestling. Coming for you, Mama Rhodes. Coming to you, Brooklyn. He's been really pushing that Brooklyn appearance next week. Would you be shocked? I would not be shocked. If this show starts up cold open for Monday Night Raw, no music, no nothing, and then The Rock's music just hits and they let that place come unglued, pop a huge rating to start the show, and then let him kind of go off, it would be weird to go 2 weeks without The Rock leading up to this WrestleMania build. And obviously, he has a busy schedule and everything else, but it's an easy flight to Chicago. It's easy to get in and out everywhere. He's been getting to all these good wrestling cities. Like you said, Chicago is a great city. Hitting Chicago, New York, and then Philly for Mania makes a lot of sense. I think we get Rocky tonight. I don't know if that email sketched me out a little bit when it said senior director of public relations. He says The Rock's going to show up with it. I don't know if they need to say why they needed the Ford Raptor. That worried me a little bit.
I agree. I saw that and the fact that the name was like partially scribbled out, but you could still see like the first letter and the last letter. It's almost like they wanted you to believe them, like, oh, this is really the person.
Yeah.
This is what makes internet speculation great, though. An email about a Ford F Raptor, and we're talking about The Rock showing up on Raw tonight.
I think though, like, it's either complete hogwash because you've seen The Rock show up in like the tunnel at the arena in pickup trucks before. So it's either really credible and they're trying to do something like that again, or it's just complete nonsense that someone's taken from a previous scene. But I still think he could show up. Here's the thing. Imagine if Jake, you, what you just said, Rock opens show, Punk interrupts Rocky.
That
buddy, this is my city, people's champion.
Just give him 45 minutes.
That is a lot better.
The voice of the voices. Here's the thing is Rock's appearances before those last 3 weeks on SmackDown, they were all surprises, right? Like he showed up day one. That was a surprise appearance, technically. When he showed up to SmackDown originally in October or November, that was a surprise. So he kind of, now he has a planned appearance next week. Getting the surprise appearance one more time before WrestleMania season would make a lot of sense and would add to the hype. Like anytime you're watching WWE, you never know what's going to happen. The Rock might show up when he's not planned to and might come face to face with CM Punk. Like it would be a good little promotion tactic to do right before WrestleMania. So maybe he is onto something. Maybe that Ford Raptor is going to pull up right at the beginning of the show.
Those are the three cities to do it too. Like you said, Chicago, Brooklyn, Philly. It's money right there.
Seriously, it is money. And don't forget that when the final boss, this iteration of The Rock is the final boss, ever since he started doing the Instagram videos and everything like that, he did say, like, you know, there was that portion where, like, Seth Rollins said they didn't need The Rock. And then The Rock, like, went off on this tangent where he's like, when the Netflix executives are asking, like, is The Rock going to be involved? Like, so I bet right now they probably talked about it like, The Rock, you need to be as, like, on TV as much as you can. Like, literally, you need to make this WWE product look as good as you can. We can't have anything happening between now and when Netflix launches the $5 billion deal. We've got to be as strong as we can. And one way to guarantee that is getting random Dwayne Johnson, is getting CM Punk showing up in Chicago, even though he doesn't really have a need to be there. Speaking of having a need to be there real quick, I'll let you guys each chime in on a Mania Day, but Drew McIntyre really is on a generational social media run, right?
Yeah, he's a bastard.
It's special, man. Like just letting him go like this and letting him cook has been some of the best. That's the thing, is like some of the best WrestleMania build content has just been Twitter posts from Drew McIntyre and The Rock. Like it hasn't even been on TV. It's just letting those guys with free reign go do what they need to do. The fact that he drove all the way to Mindy's Bakery today, just who knows where that hotel was. Rose, if you know, in Chicago, Rosemont Allstate Arena, nowhere near where that would be. He definitely drove like 25-30 minutes out of his way just for this 1 minute Twitter video, and it was worth it. Well worth it, man. Like we're all gonna be talking about it. I hope he drops a Mindy's reference in the promo tonight if he gets out there with Punk, which is, I'm assuming we have to have a Drew McIntyre CM Punk face off at some point tonight. And
dude, he's got that shirt on already. Like
that's true.
Dude, DM Hunk is hysterical. I can't even say it without like smiling and laughing. It's so good.
And it's just right across the actual shirt.
It's so bad that it's so good. Like, truthfully, that's what it is. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like the American Nightmare logo or like, you know, one of those that like looks great and like everything. Like, it's so bad that DM Hunk is actually amazing. Like, it's everything you can want as a wrestling fan, or more. Especially because the fact that, let's face it, even though they do have top stars, even though they have a whole new roster, essentially, and the product is completely new, there is still a little bit of you that's like, what would Drew McIntyre be like as a major champion with like full crowds and everything like that? Because he never got that opportunity. Seems like he might get it pretty soon. And speaking of getting an opportunity pretty soon, right around the corner, boys, Thursday, we are opening up MLB opening day. And I know they played the international games last week or whatever. Yeah, great. If you woke up at 5 a.m., that was amazing. Great to get some baseball action. But this is the real MLB opening day in America, every team playing. With that said, are you guys excited? Are you riding the MLB train? I mean, I just feel like it's nice to just get another sport in the mix to bet on.
Oh yeah, definitely to get on the books. The slate today was, you know, after a full weekend of March Madness, we were talking about earlier, like today's slate was tough, and the NBA spreads were crazy today along with it too. So getting baseball in the mix will be great. Opening day, we've got Cubs, Rangers here. Chicago is buzzing about this Cubs team. We get to face the defending champions, but just all this whole opening weekend. Opening day is we should get that day off too. We should get the day off after the Super Bowl, and you should get opening day off, because there's one day that I'm willing, like I love a good Saturday, Sunday afternoon if I'm home having MLB games on all day in the summer. But opening day is where I just want to see whip around of every single game. I want to see all the parks. I want to see all the fans going crazy. And we're right back in spring. It's a warm day here. I don't know about you guys. I'm definitely ready for some baseball action and some Nerfy action. It's been too long to itch that.
Yeah, didn't grow up a baseball fan, but there's nothing like opening day. And as a gambling person, there is nothing like a Nerfy. You look across the board and you see shit and chalk everywhere. You can always find a decently valued Nerfy, and it's the most exciting six outs in all of sports. Nothing like a Nerfy. I'm fired up. Love having baseball games on every day, all day, for like basically three quarters of the year. That's why I love baseball. It's nonstop action. I'm so fired up. We're definitely hitting that Cubs-Rangers game with a Nerfy. You already know.
Yeah, and I think we are going to plan a Nerfy event for the 7:35 game, of course, on Thursday to coincide with the Sweet 16 game. So looking forward to that. We got return to the Nerfy Thursday. Yeah, baseball can't come back soon enough. I mean, I feel like Shohei Ohtani. I can't wait to rip some bets on baseball. Real quick, we got to talk about that. Do either of you think that it was just the translator just by himself?
Nah.
Not at all.
No chance.
I do think the translator is probably a degenerate and might have, like talked him into some bets, but, like, no way. With that amount of money, absolutely no chance.
Right before we hopped on this stream, right as we went live, I got the report on my phone that he had his press conference and said that he has never placed a bet on baseball. And the fact that we're even in this timeline where he is talking about this,
he said on baseball.
I don't know if that was the exact quote. Don't quote me.
Okay.
Never placed a bet. Plain and simple. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I saw some videos yesterday where it was like, can we really trust this guy? And he's been talking about how he can't really speak English. And there's a video of Mike Trout saying, I think he knows more English than you know. And then the video of him at the All-Star game where he's responding and understanding whoever it was, Doug Glanville or whoever is talking to him. And then he's like, oh, no, I can't speak. And it's like, okay, buddy, I don't know. You lost the plot there for a second. So I don't know if we can trust Shohei completely.
Having a translator is amazing. Like, first off, just to say, like, you have someone who's set up to like put things in a way that you want to hear them. Like, it's not just the language. Like, they're using a kinder like rhetoric. Typically they're using like a little bit nicer language. Like, I think this is like a total like privilege thing. Like, I want to get myself a translator.
Yeah.
I could frame him for all my lost bets too, of course. But yeah, I think I don't know. I think, and also plain and simple, if you're MLB, you want this to go away yesterday. Because Shohei Ohtani is one of the most exciting players you have on one of the most exciting teams that everybody watches. It's like the very baseline cornerstone of the product. So
talk about a monkey's paw, right? Like, you get him on the Dodgers, you get this team that could be one of the best teams in MLB history, at least shaping up to, at least the roster could be. They've had some crazy years without him. And then all of a sudden this scandal comes out, and like, it's so funny that we're in this spot with a guy that maybe bet on baseball and maybe didn't. And would they keep Shohei Ohtani out of the Hall of Fame if he goes through his career? Like, that's the thing. It's like, this is like, that's the biggest scandal they've ever had. And this guy is now their biggest star they've ever had in the same thing.
Like, that's the thing. Nobody is too good to bet on baseball because the all-time hits leader got caught betting and he is not in the Hall of Fame. Like, you can't, like, in an MLB sense, it's almost, there's no better you can do than all-time hits leader.
I think you should be allowed to bet on your team.
Yeah, 1,000%. You should be able to. Sure. A player should be able to hit all their own props. Like, yeah, if it's in a positive way. If it's in a positive way.
Yes.
Like, exactly. Hit all your overs. Hit all your base hit like props. Everything.
You know how many people we'd see like busting ass every single game.
You know what? Like, oh my God, can you imagine like so they walk up to the plate and they're like, you know, Mike Trout has like over 1.5 total bases and like reaches base twice in a parlay.
They give it to like the announcers.
Yes, it goes up on the Jumbotron. This would be amazing. I mean, how much I would watch baseball in a second if these guys were betting on themselves.
I mean, hey, ESPN's got that sports book now. Like, next thing you know.
By the way, okay, that's actually a good topic, because did you see Reese Davis yesterday?
Yes.
That was so funny. And that was exactly why ESPN cannot like do betting the right way, just truthfully. Because the second they say one thing that's politically like wrong, like, or whatever, they have to issue this whole statement and all like take it back, everything like that. I mean, we all knew what he was trying to say. He was trying to say she had a lock based on how she put it. But the fact that he's on this big worldwide leader and there's all these legals involved. Oh, my God. That was like when someone's parent makes them like apologize for doing something. And, you know, like they really don't want to apologize, but like it just had to be done. Like it was so funny to see. Ridiculous. You know.
Yeah. I mean, what's wrong with a little free money?
What is wrong with a little free money? That's what he should have put at the end of the apology tweet. That would have been hysterical. All right. Well, speaking of hysterics, speaking of getting excited, we have got Buffalo Bisons baseball, boys. We got opening day Friday, and we got a Bison schedule, and we got some theme days. Let me see if I can get this pulled up here.
Love the theme days. I'm excited.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So, does this work? Is this going to do this thing where it shares the non-screen? Okay. Nope. All right. So, we got to decide the draft order. We're going to do a draft of the Bison's theme days. So let's see. Let's go to Wheel of Names where we can always get something good.
I got some prospects I'm looking for. So I hope I get a good
draft. You got some of your targeting. We got Star Wars Day. We got, you know, Independence Eve with the BPO. We got Marvel Superhero Night. Let's see what it's going to be. But first, the draft order. Let's go. What should we do? Reverse. So first person that gets his three, second person who gets his two, last pick is one.
Sure. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Do we get visual confirmation on this, or do we have to take your word?
Yeah, no, chill.
That's promising.
Here we go.
There we go.
All right, so this is for the third overall pick in the Buffalo Bisons theme day draft. There's your visual confirmation, bud.
God damn it.
All right, remove. All right, so Slick is picking three.
Is it a snake?
Nope, so this is for two.
Oh,
and it's me. Okay, so I got two. And Micah's got one. So give the intern a second here. We'll clear that out.
It's not
out.
Even a snake. What the hell?
No. It is a snake. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it definitely
okay.
Is.
Sweet.
Yeah, obviously. Or else we would just be in pain. Okay. Now, let's get that. Get my favorites out of there. Let's go. Okay. So at the lower, we got Lacrosse Night with the Bandits. We got Independence Eve with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. We got Marvel Superheroes Day. We got Sabres Day with the Sabres. We got Meet Bluey, and there's some other, you know, character that you get to meet, but you get to meet Bluey, okay, which is the biggest. Princess Day, you got Kids Day at the park, you got the Celebration, you got Olympics Day, you got Opening Day, where they will be giving away a snow scraper, and Brandon Bean will be throwing out the first pitch, but it is this Friday with the weather. You got Friendship Bracelet Day, and then you have the highly coveted Star Wars Night. So, with that said, we got four picks each. Snake draft. Micah, kick us off.
Well, you sold it there pretty well. This is like the Caleb Williams of this draft. I got to go Star Wars Night. Got to go with the OG.
I would have loved that as my one, but that's going to obviously go to you. So, you got Star Wars Night?
Yeah, that's the foundation
like
of
that.
My roster.
I will go. So, this is a sleeper, but I am going to go Kids Day. It is by far the most lit crowd that the Bisons get all year. That is not even a question. And the thing that, you know, isn't exactly overly advertised about it, this is a game that occurs on a weekday at about noon. So you're getting off of any work. You're getting off of any responsibility. You're getting to hang out at the ballpark. It's Kids Day. Slick, you got two picks. Where are you headed?
Thank gosh you guys are sleeping. Stay in bed because my two prospects are still on the board. First pick, I'm going with the Bandits theme night. I mean, come on, guys. The Bandits just came off a championship. The jerseys are so dope every year. The Bandits players showing out. Dope night collaboration between two Buffalo staples. Bandits night is the obvious first choice for me. And then on my back-to-back on the snake, I got the two biggest names in Australian TV today, Bluey and Dingo Night. Sleeper. Let's get the people going.
That was second on my board, Slick. I was getting ready for Bluey and Dingo. And,
stay in bed.
Right.
Okay, that's fair. So you got Dingo and Bluey. But what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna lock up. I have this Bisons franchise in my hand now. And the reason that I do is I am going to be picking the icon, the legend, Celery Gracian. This is going to be obviously a sought after game. The legend himself, Celery, the legend herself, Celery, will be back in attendance. I got kids day. I got Celery. Micah, you got two big picks coming up to accompany Star Wars night, though.
Well, Celery was next on my board. So this is tough.
Same.
This is real tough here. I'm just going to double up on it. I'm going to go Marvel Defenders Night, a newer one there, but I'm going to lock in with it. And I'll take opening day. I don't know what the weather's going to look like. Haven't looked at it a bit, but you can't beat that opening day energy. Brandon Bean on the mound. It's going to be electric. Give me those. And I feel like I have a strong trio of foundation here to go off of. Bison's Day, Marvel Day. If you got costumes, you will like my team. Like, you will be ready to go. And then opening day, celebrate the game. There we go.
That's fair. But what's also fair is having an amazing time in the middle of the summer. And where can you do that besides Independence Eve? Does it get more Buffalo than the Philharmonic Orchestra? I got kids day. I got Celery. I got fireworks happening. I got it all happening at the ballpark. Slick, you got two picks coming up.
Yeah.
How are you going to finish out that roster?
So this is a pick that you can't always get, and it comes around once every 4 years, and it represents everything that we love about sports and competitiveness. I am going with Olympic Night, given that it's an Olympic year. It's a must for my board, and I think that's going to be a very unique night that fans can be really excited for. And then next, this is tough. I am going to go with Princess Night for all my princesses out there. I know I'll be taking a lovely lady to Princess Night, and we're going to have a couple drinks and enjoy ourselves.
Can't believe Princess Night just went. What a pick. So we got Friendship Bracelet and then Sabres Night. Day of the Sabres. I mean, unfortunately, you know, I applaud the Bisons. They're always trying to stay on, like, the trends and everything. I think the Friendship Bracelet, yeah, I think it's like you're trying to hop on the Swifty bandwagon, but the Swifties, can't handle the pit, and neither can my roster. So I'll take Day with the Sabres to round out my roster. That leaves Micah with the Friendship Bracelet Day. Again, strong rosters across the board. So congrats, boys. We all built out some great squads. We'll see what the internet has to say as to who did it best. Speaking of who did it best, shout outs, sign outs. Anything to say, boys, before we head out?
I don't know what I got a shout out for today. Actually, I wasn't prepared. No shout outs. Shout out baseball. You know what? Yeah. Shout out baseball.
Betting on baseball.
Yeah, shout out betting on baseball. Shout out Shohei.
Shout out to Mindy's Bakery.
Oh, great call. Mindy's when you guys come to Chicago, Mindy's not on Mondays and Tuesdays, as Drew McIntyre said. It does slap though. Punk was not lying about that.
Yeah, we got to definitely.
He'll have a lot to say tonight.
Shout out the Buffalo.
Speaking of a lot to shout out Buffalo Bracket. Shout out Howard Simon. Shout out Cover One. Shout out everyone grinding out in the Buffalo Bracket. Shout out UConn and Cuse. A 7-point game with a minute left in the second quarter. So we got a barn burner there. Hopefully, a great night of sports. Brandon, ooh, okay, I'll take that.
Are you paying people on the internet?
That's my burner. That's my Brandon burner.
Which one though?
Seriously. Make sure you are on your burner. Make sure you're following us on all the platforms.
Apple, Spotify,
YouTube.
And always making sure to have a good time. Make sure you're following Jake Micah. Make sure you're following Slick L. Make sure you're following this train. And make sure, most importantly, to have a good night now.